Hello everybody, this is Curtis from Tremble, letting you know that we are brought to you by Shudder. Shudder is the horror movie streaming service that brings you all the latest and greatest that horror has to offer. But you don't have to take my word for it. You can use TremblePod, that's TREMBLEPOD, when you sign up for an account. This will give you a free 30-day trial on us, so you can check it out for yourself. With that said, let's get on with this week's episode.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Tremble, the horror movie podcast. I'm your host, Curtis. With me, as always, is Stephen Taylor. How are you two doing?
Doing okay.
Yeah, not too bad. Not living in a haunted house, so better than all the people in all the movies we watch.
Yeah, pretty much.
This is true. You know, anytime we can be sure the place we're living in is not haunted is a good day. It's St. Patrick's Day, so, you know, what better way to celebrate than to do some Irish horror? But, you know, in doing research for this episode, you find out there's not a whole lot of Irish horror. It's just not a big thing. Or there's some movies that are maybe not the most exciting to talk about, and even the one that is, try to go a little bit of, like, classy, not classy, you know? Like, you've got this highbrow horror with The Canal, but then also lowbrow with Warwick Davis and Leprechaun 3. One of these was way more enjoyable than the other. You can try to figure out which, but, yeah. It's The Canal, which is the movie we're talking about this episode, is... I found it to be an interesting enough movie, but it just takes such a long time to set everything up and get everything going. But once it got going, like, there were some cool ideas and stuff that was going on, but it certainly is not a movie that you go into expecting to just jump into things right away like you do with Leprechaun 3.
And I think the third act is slightly predictable. But as far as subtle effects go, I mean, because this looks like a micro budget film too, but as far as like effects go, I think that, I mean, they did a pretty solid job. And there's something about the old kind of Victorian creepy ghost thing that is kind of cool still. It kind of reminded me a bit of what James Wan tried to do with the second Conjuring movie. There's some little elements to this one that I think work, and it feels like a cheap movie, but I don't know. I thought it was kind of effective for what it was trying to do.
Yeah, I agree about the predictability of this movie, and I don't know if it's just because I've watched a decent amount of horror or a decent amount of movies that already use the trope of the main character thinks someone else did it and actually it's them that's doing it. But like that first scene where he sees his wife being pushed into the water by the ghost, I guess, I was like, okay, it's like he's doing this, and it's like, it's him. Which, that makes the movie feel so much slower too, because you're kind of then just waiting for the penny to drop. You're waiting for that scene of him realizing it was him the whole time, you know, which I think, unfortunately, it took this movie down a notch for me a little bit. I do agree though, like the gore in this movie, the disturbing scenes were so well done. I don't remember her name now. Emily, whoever, the nanny that he locks in the basement room.
Yeah.
There's that scene where she's like all like fucked up and like giving birth, and it's like, oh my god, like that was so well done. But the plot is a little slow. It seems like it really takes him a long time. He kind of keeps flip-flopping back and forth between being insane and then talking to people about it, and like I feel like the people in his life probably could have done something a lot sooner, like to get him some help, but you know, they had to pad out the movie, so I understand.
Totally. Well, what is The Canal even about? Well, the official summary is David and his family move into a period house by a canal and dismiss rumors of the place being haunted. David starts having nightmarish visions when he suspects his wife is cheating, and he begins to descend into madness. Yeah, even the summary is very spoilery. You can start to piece things together even just reading that. When was the first time we watched this?
For
For
the
the
podcast.
podcast.
Yeah.
yep
Wow. I
Yeah,
think this might be a
it's the
first.
common theme actually of this week.
Oh, you've never seen Leprechaun 3 before?
No, I haven't. No.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I might be in that boat too. I won't talk too much about it because I'll save it for Leprechaun, but I may have a box set that I was working my way through before that, so
Okay.
yeah.
Yeah, this is the rare distinction. I have never seen this movie before either. So,
Oh. Nice.
it was on my list, so it was good to kind of like be like, okay, let's cross this one off the list. But yeah, it's also I've seen it on lists before, people being like some of the best like Irish horror, and yeah, I'm like, okay, well, if this is the best. I feel like I can just end here, stop here. But it was like I said, it was an interesting watch. I think like, yeah, I got like three quarters through and then I just like I fell asleep and then I had to go back and rewatch the last half, and yeah, like it gets going near the end, but yeah, certainly it's a slow burn in the beginning for sure. We have a couple emails. First is from Greg, who says, underrated film. I remember it came out around the same time as The Babadook, and that film overshadowed this one, which is a shame because this movie has much less screaming and annoying children.
I would not. Babadook's better.
Yes.
In many ways. I don't think that The Canal is a strong enough film to be in the conversation of The Babadook, so I wouldn't put any blame
I can see how
on
there's.
that film at all.
No, I still feel like the Babadook kind of had very universal kind of appeal beyond just like, like obviously, it was like a mother and her son and all this, but like, I think a lot of people really resonated with that story. And yes, the movie has an annoying yelling child, but I mean, I don't know.
Jennifer Kent's a better filmmaker
This
to the
is
core.
100% the case. Yeah.
Yeah, and I get defensive of Babadook when people complain about the kid too, because you're
Me
supposed
too.
to be fucking annoyed by the kid. Like, you're supposed to be
Yeah.
feeling what the mom feels in that moment, which is, oh my God, shut this fucking kid up. I
Well,
can't take this anymore.
and
Yeah.
anyone that has an autistic child or an autistic nephew or anybody in the family would immediately understand, and that's, I mean, it's a little harsh to marginalize these kids with developmental issues. I mean, because I'm raising one right now, as just dismissing them as just annoying. Like, that's part of the fucking problem
Yeah.
in dealing with these children in the first place, and that's why we write them off, and all of a sudden they grow into really fucked up adults.
Yeah.
So maybe if we can try to curb this feeling of annoying kids, get them out of my face, and maybe see what the issue is at the core, we'd be able to help these children more than just fucking doom them to a life of misunderstanding.
But yeah, I do think the
I don't
Babadook
know. That's my
obviously.
thought.
No, for sure. And I do think the Babadook clearly was more popular than this. And obviously the Babadook became a gay icon. So you know what? There's nothing you can't really beat that, Canal. I'm sorry, but
No, I will honestly say though, I was not looking forward to this two pack of viewings, but I feel like inadvertently dropping the bar so low for The Canal like really worked in its favor for me.
Oh, like you were not expecting too much from it, and then you kind of came away
No.
pleasantly
Yeah.
surprised. Yeah.
Especially that the bathroom stall scene I
Yes.
thought was incredibly effective, especially and I mean it was part it was a big reason why I felt the third act was predictable was this scene, but the face so cl the head so close to his in the bathroom stall to end that scene I thought was like awesome. It
Yeah.
was really kind of cool looking, and yeah, I really liked that scene a lot.
Yeah, the actual horror scenes this movie gets really, really well. Like they do that stuff really good. It's all the little bits in between connecting those that kind of don't hit, or they just don't feel like they're connected well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Kaylee says this movie has excellent sound design, so eerie and unsettling. I will agree with that. It is very
Yeah.
eerie and unsettling.
Yeah. Well, where it didn't need a lot of money, it really came through in those pieces, I think. Like, I think that I'm struggling to find where the budget was for this film because you can't really find that information anywhere. But
No.
I think that they did a really great job in stretching that budget.
Yeah.
And you got to give it up to the because the director also wrote this film as well. Forgetting what his name is for a second. Ivan Kavanaugh. He did a solid job of making it stretch. Too bad they didn't put that into the poster. The poster is really shitty. Reminds
Oh, the
me of
poster is like
a 70s redo of a Lucio Fulci movie. Like
yeah.
it's not great.
I you
And
could
like
tell the
this guy
poster
didn't
was
really
made
do a
by
lot.
someone. No,
Yeah.
you can tell the poster was made by like some like visual design student in university or something. It's just got like a very like simple design to it, but yeah.
He did it. I mean, he did after this, he did a Western with Emile Hirsch and John Cusack that's actually got a 65 green Metascore.
Okay.
I've never seen it. I've never seen it. So it's
Going
interesting.
on the
Called
watch
Never
list.
Grow Old.
Okay.
Never
Came
Grow
out in
Old. Yeah.
2019.
Yeah.
Interesting. I never would have thought John Cusack in a Western, but I
Yeah,
mean.
why not though? Why not?
Yeah, why
I'm
not?
just imagining him talking in his normal voice without an accent in that movie for some reason, and it's just very silly.
Don't you know
Yeah.
all the cowboys that come from Chicago?
I think it'd be great. I think they should.
Perfect. Okay. Best line in this movie. Honestly, I was watching the movie and I totally forgot to write one down, but
Yeah, I
there,
didn't really have a lot.
the
yeah.
only thing that I wrote down is so his kid throughout this whole movie is, other than a couple scenes, so unfazed by what's going on. So I wrote down the first thing that I wrote down is they in the very beginning of the movie they walk past the tunnel or the cave or whatever it is, and the kid's like, "Can I throw a stone and see if a ghost comes out?" And I'm like, "Oh, please do it." I was so happy when he
Yeah.
did it. I was so upset when a ghost didn't come out, but you know. And then later on, they're throwing the flower all over the floor, and the kid, again, unfazed, just turns to his dad and goes, "It's like snow. Can I have a go?" And he's like not questioning at all. Like, he's a little kid, so I understand, but it's just throughout the whole movie, I was like, they should just let this kid have a go at the ghost because I think could do it. That was another thing, though, that was a little confusing to me in this movie is they cut. I don't know if it was on purpose or not, but it's like the switch between, okay, is there a ghost or is he just like schizophrenic or like mentally unwell and like seeing things, you know? Because the
Yeah.
very end of this movie, like I definitely thought throughout the whole movie, okay, he is just seeing things, you know, there's no ghost. No one else is like really seeing things. He's making it all up in his head. But then the end of the movie totally flips that, like right at the end when his dad is like in the wall and then the kid goes back to the house, and it implies like a Haunting of Hill House thing almost, where maybe the house is like convincing people to I don't know. I don't know what it is. So that also really confused me, this movie. And if anyone has any insight into what is actually going on, please let me.
Yeah, I don't know. The only thing I can think of is when he was given that 16 millimeter, and then he goes, "Oh, that's my ha-." The way is like, "That's my house." Like, I don't know. It felt very ADR, and I was like, either
100%.
that or his assistant Claire, the when she's trying to reason with him before she gets pulled through the wall.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was interesting too, but yeah, not a lot beyond that.
No.
I and maybe a nod to my favorite performance of the movie, but Steve Oram as the cop, what's his name? I've written down McNamara. I thought he was great. He's probably my favorite part of this movie.
Yeah, I guess we'll just go right into best performance. I would put Rupert Evans, but I mean, Steve Oram was also very good in this too.
He's just such a genre guy, and I kind of dig him for that.
Yeah, he was in stuff like Paddington, The World's End, stuff like that. He's and guy just shows up in a bunch of stuff.
Have you ever seen Ah?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he wrote. I think he wrote and directed that one.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. That came out like a while ago, almost like 10 years ago at this point. But yeah.
Yeah. That was my first Vancouver International Film Festival. I saw that at the Cinematheque with very low attended screening. I think there was only like 8 other people in the audience, but it was fucking random movie.
Which is how it goes with the VIF. I mean, it's either packed or it's like 30% capacity.
Yeah, exactly. Especially at that venue.
Yeah. Taylor, did you have a favorite performance in this?
I don't know. I put the gore because that's immediately what stuck out to me as the best performance movie.
I mean, I think we can allow it. That does check out with this movie. Like, this totally makes sense.
Yeah. Otherwise, I was just going to go with Rupert Evans because he is a familiar face to me. More so than some of the other cast, and I generally enjoy his performance.
I recognize him from Hellboy. I know I've probably seen him in other things, but I was like, oh, it's the dude from Hellboy.
Yeah, I can't remember. I know I've seen him in other things, but I can't remember exactly what it was off the top of my head. Probably the gore, because that was my favorite.
I think he might have been the dad and the boy. I don't know.
I think you might be right at that. I'll have to look through his IMDb later.
One of these days we should do a double feature of the boy movies, because those are just awful movies.
Oh,
but they're...
Oh boy.
Especially Brahms, the boy too. Oh my gosh.
It just completely ignores the first movie. And it's the same writer and director, William Brent Bell. I want to say his name was Brent William Bell or something like that.
The only redeeming value of Brahms the Boy 2 is when they break Brahms' face and you just see this like gnarly like creature face underneath. And that's the only great thing about that movie. Everything else, mostly including Katie Holmes' performance, is just absolute garbage. Yeah. Sorry, Katie Holmes, but. I can't really think of anything Katie Holmes has been in since Batman Begins that has been relatively decent. Actually, I guess she was in Logan Lucky.
I liked Touched by Fire. I liked.
Okay.
With her and Luke Kirby, who played Lenny Bruce in Marvelous Miss Maisel.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
A movie about mental illness, like two mentally ill people finding each other in a facility type thing. I thought it was pretty solid. In Logan Lucky, that's probably, I mean, she was in Ray Donovan, but you can't credit her for the success of that show.
No.
Miss Meadows is actually solid from 2014.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed Miss Meadows quite a bit. Son of No One is a Dito Montel movie. I generally like his films quite a bit. But yeah, and Thank You for Smoking, which was also the same year as Batman Begins.
Yep. Best kill in this movie. I went with Claire. I thought hers was pretty gnarly.
Yeah, getting pulled through the wall is pretty nasty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's really like despair filled as she's like screaming and stuff.
Yeah.
There was a ghostly flashback to the ghost's wife being stabbed too. That was pretty brutal.
That was gnarly. Yeah. That was a good one.
That one was pretty good. That was kind of one of the first instances of real gore in this movie too. And I was like, damn, they're going full on with this. They are not holding back. I was impressed.
That's the point when you start waking up, you're like, oh, the movie's getting interesting at this point.
Yeah. But it kind of waits a bit for the next good kill or the good like super interesting thing to happen, but that one definitely was, I sat up for it.
All right. Steve, did you have a favorite kill?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the bed stabbing. But okay. I did say initially Claire getting pulled through the wall, but Taylor reminding me of that flashback one, because that one's just like so face and neck stabby.
Yeah.
That, yeah, I kind of got a rock with that one.
All right. Dumbest decision in this movie.
I mean, the only one that I wrote down, because I think I maybe tuned out for the rest of the movie for this award, the only one I wrote down was the one scene where he's looking over some papers in his office and the nanny comes in and he like gets startled and throws the papers at her. And
yeah, I was that like, was weird.
Excuse me, that's so rude. Please say you're sorry. That was not called for at all. And he just didn't say anything. It was just like an awkward silence after that. It was such a weird scene. And then, yeah. I don't know. Other than that, it's just like maybe kind of like journal about your thoughts and reread them later when you're in a better headspace to understand how crazy they're sounding and take a step back. I mean, I know that's not actually possible when you're going through a mental health crisis, but that's the only other thing I can think of.
Yeah, I guess just like not figuring out that you're the one that's killing these people, you know, sooner. Mm-hmm. That would be pretty dumb. Like, can
he
you
should have just watched Fight? He should have just watched Fight Club, and then it would have given him a little hint, you know.
He's like,
Taylor, we're not supposed to talk about that.
Oh, sorry, you're right.
Yeah,
I'm not. Well, I'm not in it. I don't subscribe to them. I break them.
Perfect. Okay, I think it's time to rate this movie. What are we thinking for a score?
I'm gonna rock with a 7.5. It's right. it's a solid watch. I thought I didn't regret it. I didn't feel like ugh, like will this end anytime? I was actually kind of into it, and no matter what I saw coming, I still enjoyed it for the most part. And yeah, like I said before, thinking this was going to be shit worked out well for me, I think, in my enjoyment of the film.
I feel like I almost had the opposite effect, where I kind of thought it was going to be a little better than it was. I'm not going to go super low. I think I'm still going to go with a 7, because like the gore was pretty redeeming. There were some parts of this that were a little redeeming, even if the plot could have used a little bit more to wake me up for it. But yeah, other than that, it was enjoyable.
Yeah, I'll also go with a 7. I think what really drags it down for me was, yeah, it's pretty slow to start and it is predictable, but I mean, by the time they get to the end, I won't say it's as effective as Malignant, but it kind of had that Malignant kind of effect of like, once it gets going, it gets going.
Mm-hmm.
You actually probably could do a double feature of Malignant. That wouldn't be the worst double feature in the world.
No, I don't think so.
We'll rock 7. I mean, I do think that there are better films in that subgenre of like, you know, somebody kind of unraveling from the inside, but you know, it's still fine enough. And yeah, I think you did get saved by the gore, so
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, Steve, where can people find you on the internet?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, and Threads at The Steeble Dead. You can find my website, stevestabbing.ca. Please find and subscribe to my YouTube channel, just Steve Stebbing. And I put out every episode of that video on every Friday, 9 a.m. You can also find out at shiftheads.ca. And yeah, I think that's it. Oh, and I'm on After the Credits, which you can go to atcpod.com to find that one.
Cool. And Taylor, where can people find you on the internet?
Mainly on Instagram under the username Technomicon. I upload posts every time a new episode goes up. And I have a Letterboxd as well under the username Circeanic. I'm not as good about posting on that one, but one day I will update with all the scores and be back up to date. And And that's pretty much it for now.
Cool. Yeah, I'm over at 3angrynerds.com where you're probably listening to this and maybe a few other podcasts. You can also find me on that hashtag show. I write weekly box office recaps and other stuff. I think I'm going to start doing reviews for Last Drive-In too. So since they're, and that'll be a more consistent source of income now since they're moving that to being, it's going to go on for a lot longer. Like they just had the season premiere this past Friday, and I think it's going to go till like almost like November or something like that. Like it's a long stretch. Nice. So yeah. Yeah, the first episode of the season was they taped a live show. And it was like a Roger Corman like appreciation. They showed nice. Deathstalker and Bucket of Blood, which both those movies are just wild. I don't think Deathstalker is a horror movie, but Bucket of Blood's, even though it's really old school, it's got some cool horror elements and. Probably one of the few Dick Miller starring movies because he ends up just being like a side character in most movies. But I was like, oh wow, Dick Miller getting top billing. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, Dick Miller's the shit. Him and Corman and Joe Dante love him. So yeah, I'm all about Dick Miller. Or loved him. Rest in peace.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, and then you can find me on Twitter, Film Critic Kurt, Fatal Koala, and Letterboxd. I mean, there's not a whole lot to review these days. It's starting to look like a barren wasteland, but it'll start picking up soon, I think. Mm-hmm. I've even noticed, like, movie studios are now like, hey, there's nothing for us to put out, so do you want to watch Star Wars again in theaters or Spider-Man again in theaters?
Yeah.
Like, okay. Cool. Well, until next time, when we're going to talk about Leprechaun 3. Bye for now.